Oh, there?
Oh, that one too.
I thought you had to turn this on too.
You turn them both on.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got that one on, Mark?
And then we just push the...
Oh, no.
Push this one, record? Okay, looks like we're running.
Okay, I'd like to call the September 24th, 2019 regular scheduled meeting to order. I request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so Joel will be stepping in late for that, so I will do roll call. Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Bo Miller, present. Okay. Did everybody have a chance to go over the meeting minutes from September 10th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I move that the meeting minutes be accepted.
Okay. I can second that.
I had one question for Joel, and it would be the only thing was Mr. Anderson that was in here. Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Is it Thomas?
Is it Tom?
We always call him Tom.
Okay. He had Brad in here, and I didn't think that was correct.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't either, so.
We always call him Tom.
That's what I thought. Okay, it's
Tom.
You're
right. You're right.
Okay. So with that,
okay,
with that change.
Change. Okay.
Did you second that, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller. Yes. Minutes approved. Okay, fiscal officer report, we're going to skip until Joel gets in. Fire department, I do not see the chief here yet. Rec department, nobody's here from the rec department. Zoning department, nobody's here from the zoning. And maintenance, Kevin.
Wow.
The floor is yours.
Oh, please, no, I don't want to be on the floor. The tractor got sent out. We sent it to Bay Tractor. That's down there to be fixed for that PTO problem.
Is this the big tractor?
Yeah, the one that we use to normally mow the roads
with. Oh, the road, okay.
Yeah, Ford.
So I called Lucas County, well, almost a week and a half ago now. They've been going to send another tractor out. They haven't got it out yet. They offered when I called yesterday, well, you can just come out if you want and just drive it out. That's how they typically were doing it. And no, I'm not going to take that chance. Even if they took Eric out there, if it broke down on the way, there ain't nothing I can do with it.
Yeah.
So they're still saying they're going to deliver it, hopefully yet this week. But right now, temporarily, he's using the A-boom just to mow the roadsides and the ditches. So he's working on it. I got a hold of Paul Ackerman about spraying all of our guardrail and a total kill on Wallace Road from the guardrail to the bottom of the ditch of all the brush and poison ivy, everything that's overgrown in there. I don't remember exactly what the estimate was, but Ryan Miller is going to pay for everything on Wallace, the rest of the roads with guardrail. It was like almost $5,000, but the biggest percentage was Wallace Road because of the extent of all the brush and everything it overgrew in there. So he's going to put that out as a line item so it's separated, and that I'll have Brian pay for. And I also got Lake Erie Tree, which it won't happen until this fall or this winter. They're going to cut all the big trees out of the bottom of that ditch. And theirs was $4,500, and Brian Miller said that he would take care of most of that with ditch money. Cemetery, I have no update on. I haven't heard anything. Nobody's contacted me for anything at the cemetery at this point. Pretty much what I got, other than my next appointment is October 15th, before I find out what I can do, if I can get rid of the boot or not, so.
So right now you're on, you're non-weight bearing?
Pretty much, yes. It says no walking. That's how it's got it, so. Crutches for everything.
Kevin, we got a, did you see the resume that come through on the email? Would have been last.
Came through a week or so back.
A week ago.
The one that I looked at said this gentleman graduated in 1963.
Was that Mr. Rangel? Yeah.
And he's 5 years older than I am.
I don't think something like that would work out in the present condition now, because he's going to have to do a little more than mow grass.
Yeah.
I have not heard of anything else.
Okay, we got one today.
Okay.
And this gentleman actually is on Greytown Road. David Shutt?
Shutty.
And it looks like he might be really good for you. That's up to you though. You're the one that does the hiring of the part-time people, so we'll just leave this with you. If you want to arrange an interview.
Yeah, I would like to get him in here, because I'd also like to set the date tonight for the brush shipping, so we can get that out of the way, because I have had a lot of calls on that, and there are piles out there.
Kevin, he worked for Pfeiffer Farms for probably 40 years. He just kind of retired. He's 65 too, because he graduated in 72. So, but he's used to doing stuff, so he might work out real well.
Okay, and I also will call that other gentleman that we got from and interview them both and see what I come up with, and I'll let you guys know before we move either way on it. Because we have brush chipping that we got to get out of the way. That's the most labor-intensive thing that we got to do yet for the fall. There's a bunch of cemetery work, but it's going to take two people to do it. And right now, with us being behind on the roads and stuff, if we could get a part-time person, maybe one day he mows here, then the next day Eric will take him to the cemetery and have him do that, because I won't allow the part-time people to drive any of our trucks or tow trailers and stuff like that. So, but that's pretty much what we got going on in the eggshell that I know of.
All right. Anything else for Kevin?
Nope, nothing else for good.
All right. Well, I guess we'll jump back up to the fire chief.
Okay.
Chief, it's yours.
Well, good evening, everyone. Yes. Obviously, you can see today we have BioCare here today doing our fit testing and physicals for the firefighters. And obviously, that's where Joel is probably tied up with at the moment. We do have enrolled five firefighters in their fire training. Which they've extended the amount of hours of fire training. Now it's 160 for a fire one. So that's going to take them into December.
It used to be 120, wasn't it?
Pardon?
It used to be 120.
So then all the planning for the open house is pretty well all set. Just wanted to offer up to the trustees, if you would like to have a table and maybe have an opportunity to explain the flood action plan. We could certainly, set you up with that, and that might be able to be helpful. The Thursday, I'm going downtown to the county, and I am working on getting some additional mappings of Jerusalem Township in a larger formatted size. For us for incident command situations. So one may be a topical, and then the other one will be a satellite view, pretty sure we'll be able to do that. We had our training exercise it was our practice run for Davis Bessie. We executed that last week, and it went reasonably well. St. Charles had a few little hiccups, but we all do. It's always a learning opportunity for us all. We got the packet as you may have seen, for the Red Cross blood drive, so that's scheduled for October 26th. So if you could...
I think it's already in there.
It's already in there for us.
Okay. Did they give times on that packet?
I got it in my truck. I'd have to look at it now.
Okay, that's the only thing I didn't have. We had it in there.
I think the last time was like from noon to 6.
Yeah, but this is on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'd say if we can get that information, and you're...
I've got it in my truck. I can go back out.
And you're talking to Neon Goldfish tomorrow, aren't you, about other updates on the website?
Correct, yeah.
So maybe Mark can get that one shot.
Copy of the flyers. They print out several of them, and then I'm just going to start putting them out in the community.
Okay.
And get that done. And there he is. All physically fit. I worked further on some of the information here that you had
very good, thank
requested.
You.
And again, I'm meeting with EMA again, and there's a few more of these contact names I wanted to get and fill that out.
Okay.
So let me get that, then I'll email it to you.
That'd be fine.
It should be Thursday afternoon.
Thanks.
Because I'll let you guys know, too, how the mapping is going to go. The one thing that I did put in here is just a suggestion, is if in the event that we did go into a full situation where we activated this, I believe the fire station would facilitate a better facility for the incident command part because of all the immediate radio communications and everything
else. That's a good point.
That you would have, and then the mapping that we'll have on the walls in there. The other part is this building ends up becoming the
shelter
location.
Okay.
So it'll give you.
No, that makes great sense.
We would facilitate that for you. But that's part of the few little notes that I put in here. Okay. But I really do like the question you had asked. Alert. How should the residents alert us if there was a breach?
Right.
And my thing is just call 911.
I give them that one. They got one here.
That would be the quickest and fastest. That's if our deputy.
I'm sorry. How did you say it?
I just said it. You know, it says in the event of a dike failure, the alert. How should the residents alert us if they were going? You know, they were the first ones to see it. And to me, it would be just call 911.
Okay.
That'll get the dispatch going. They're going to tow us out immediately. You guys are going to get your call immediately from the fire department. So,
excellent.
And then another one is how will we activate the township's alert system? And so that function, I call back to Lucas County EMA,
and then they will turn on the sirens.
Yep, and start everything up.
All right. Last time you had talked a little bit about notification via landlines.
The reverse 911.
Yeah.
The alert. So I wanted to, again, I'm meeting with Pat, and I want to get a little bit more detail on that. So, meaning that, okay, let's just play it out. I'm making the phone call to you right now, Pat. We are declaring Jerusalem Township, sub-area 11, is now in a flood situation. We need this reverse 911 to go out to our region. So they're the ones that do it. All we are doing is requesting it.
But the issue is that's only going to service the landlines.
The landlines, correct.
Now, the cell phones, that I had forwarded some information to you about, I forget which community was working on testing a cell phone alert system.
I haven't heard anything from the county on that yet.
Okay. Didn't know if there were any apps that you were looking at.
Another app. It's the PulsePoint app that we could put in there too, and then that would show. It shows everything that's going on in the community. So it's however the user utilizes the app. If you want to be notified on every structure fire in the county, it'll show you. It'll come up that way.
That might be
the real intent of the app was to provide notification to people. Let's say that there was a CPR in progress at Dave Bench's farm at the in front of the stand. So that would come up in the pulse point. And then let's say that you're driving by and you happen to look and your pulse point says CPR in progress at Bench Farm. Well, you could pull right in and start assisting.
And help.
You know, and that's what That's what you need. So that app serves multiple reason or multiple points, and you can set it up to wherever you work. So that might be another tool that we could educate our public to. If you want to subscribe to this, and you can set it only to, it would probably have to be set to water rescue events. So any water rescue event that would come in, that's when they would get the alert. I don't think it, I don't know that it's defined as a flood event.
Okay, great, thank you.
Furthermore, you know, things we're gonna do, so, okay.
Thanks, Chief, I appreciate your, all your work on filling in the blanks on that, thanks.
And I believe that's all I have. I mean, we're still busy. It hasn't stopped. We're fortunate though not having fires. But EMS is steady.
I was recruiting that day at Tri-County. There's some kids in there that are 18 that live in the township.
I've been talking to one of them.
There's another one in there. I think it's Mayville, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure about him. I'll have to talk to him.
But. Yeah, because I said something. I said, go down. You would just walk through the door, and I said, see that guy right there? Go down and see him on Wednesday nights. And,
yeah.
You know, was trying to explain it to him. And yep. So, trying to get that up.
I do have a question for you as trustees. Have you guys seen the latest draft information on the final, or it looks like it's going to be the final of the consolidated dispatching proposal?
I think David's going to report on that.
Okay.
We're out at version, I don't know, 35.
I know. Yes. Yeah. That's what I was wondering, is I just gotten another one.
Have no idea what version we're on, because I've only seen a couple of them.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right. Anything else for the chief, guys?
Nope. Anything else?
Thank you, chief. All right. Joel?
And pile of papers. Started with flood status report. And our checking account, we have $276,323.20. In our Star Ohio account, we have $589,707.90.
Hey, Joel, sorry to interrupt. Do you have a particular threshold that once you pass that threshold, you transfer monies out of checking into Star Ohio? Okay.
I don't think we've ever had that problem.
Never had too much money in the checking account?
Okay. No. We're going to be paying.
Just curious.
Well, and the other thing is we have some road project money that's going to, we're going to be paying for some road projects. That's going to take that right back down to where we were. Star Ohio, $589,707.92. Payments since the last meeting. Electronic 118-2019. And then 129-2019 through 131-20. I wish they made that easier. -2019, and then warrant numbers 17969 through 18037, totaling $96,483.47, with Bergman being the most of that, and then our trash bill being the second greatest payment in that amount. And then receipts or deposits made since last meeting, totaling $222,141.57, with the greatest being from the Lucas County Auditor for our...
Is that semi-annual that hits?
Yeah, but we took early payments, so they gave us a bunch of smaller ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all I have there for the payments, the deposit, and the fund status.
Was the Franklin bill, was that minus the 4%?
I move that electronic payments 118-2019 through 131-2019 and payment advice 17969 through 18037, the sum of which totals $96,483.47, and receipts numbering 143-2019 through 159-2019, receipts totaling $222,141.57. I move that those be approved.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Amounts, and only other thing I have is amounts and rates for 2020. Just three copies. The Lucas County Auditor needs us to review and make a resolution, hopefully tonight, accepting these amounts for 2020's tax. Well, we'll receive an income for estimated, of course, for 2020. Don't ask me how much it was last year. I didn't print that off for a comparison. And these are just estimates. So you can see we have the general fund, the road and bridge fund, cemetery, fire, recreation. Actually, I can tell it did go up. Fire went up by $1,000. I can tell you that much just by looking at this. Recreation by a couple thousand. Keep reading through this.
You need a motion then to accept the auditor's estimated tax rate?
Yeah, so look at, they provide, sorry, you don't have this. They provide the form. So one of you have to make a resolution.
It's on the second page, right?
It's down here. Whoever would like to do it, please. Here. Here's the language from provided by them. I gave you just the amounts. It's here to there.
Okay.
But understand this is, does anybody have any questions on these numbers? This is what they feel that they're going to give us for.
What might you feel there?
Well, I don't have anything to really, you know. They know how much they're thinking they're going to collect, so.
Okay.
And they, of course, look at the second page is listing the years on the levy and then, of course, the rates. So you can see the cemetery at a quarter, the road, the rec, the fire. And keep in mind, we are, you know, these are, we're a year behind on collecting these. So in 2021's will be greater if those levies pass for the fire. And of course, you'll see a renewal for the road, and the rec will be even beyond that. So does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Mr. Bench moves the adoption of the following resolution. Whereas the Budget Commission of Lucas County, Ohio has certified its action thereon to this board, together with an estimate of the county auditor of the rate of each tax necessary to be levied by this board, and what part therefore is without, and what part within the 10 mil limitation, therefore be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio, that the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission in its certification be and the same are hereby accepted, and be it further resolved that there be and is hereby levied on the tax duplicate of said township the rate of each tax necessary to be levied within and without the 10 mil limitation as follows.
Second, go to the second page of your form. So after reviewing, right? Second page. See what I'm talking about? Yeah, there you go. It'll make this very easy. I don't know. But, so then you can continue on.
Should I read these off for me?
I would think you could just review the amounts.
Just review it?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. The fire is a maximum rate to be levied is five mils, and that'd be $310,000. And the rec is 0.75 mils, and that'd be $45,000. And the road is a 3 mil levy at $148,000. And the cemetery is a quarter, 1.25 at $16,000 a year. And it's a total of 9 mils at $519,000. Is that good enough?
Mm-hmm. Whoever second would read that second.
And you need the language below?
Yeah, for the second.
And be it further resolved that the fiscal officer of this board be, and he is hereby directed to certify a copy of this resolution to the county auditor of said county. Mark Sattler seconded the resolution, and the roll being called upon its adoption.
Okay, roll call.
Do I call a roll?
Well, you just seconded.
Okay.
No, I can do it. I'm just doing it now.
All right.
Sorry. You just.
Okay.
Okay, roll call.
Yeah, Dave Bench, yes.
Mark Sattler, yes.
Bo Miller, yes.
Motion carried.
Yeah, you confused me, too. I'm used to you calling out their names.
Right.
And then
Well, I'm just checking them off. Yeah, this was reading exactly what they gave me so I could turn in exactly what they want. So it'd be a lot easier if I could just talk it through like we do with all the other ones. But. So the second part to this, just so you know, because we're getting into the end of the year, is they're going to ask me by October 31st to tell them how much money I think I'm going to not spend or end up with as a surplus. And then they will approve that and then tell me that's okay, which will then allow me to proceed with setting 2020's expenditure. So what they look at is how much did you say you're not going to spend and how much are you planning on spending next year? And then they'll approve it. And then we have to approve it. So.
Okay.
Great. That's all I have. All
right. For sure. Very good.
Joel, I got a prevailing wage packet from Henry Bergman. You must need to keep that in the file. It shows that they paid prevailing wages on all the road projects. Mm-hmm.
That concerns the Bono Road project. He's definitely going to say that because of the federal money in it.
Let's see.
Federal grant. And then micromanage that. They can come back in 5 years and audit that. So.
And they might.
Which the county will have to pay for all that.
Yeah. Chip C also, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anything else for Joel? Okay, moving on to Miss Linda. You snuck in.
I snuck in. I have a few things.
You maxed yourself out the last meeting.
Yeah, that was a long one, so. Okay. Had two permits in the last 2 weeks, one for a fence on Dyke, and then they're putting in a drop for the pumps down on Graffis's property. So Edison wants a don't need a permit before they'll drop for electricity.
Oh,
he's probably going to put a pump house there.
That's a long route, too.
Yeah. Where he's done those new casings. Land bank, I went around yesterday, and the property of the burned out house is
clean.
Yep, it's clean.
Clean and clear. Yep, looks good.
And so we held that quit claim deed. So if we could sign that tonight, and I'll get it off to the attorney to process it, and we can take care of that one. I do have an offer for the parcel on 308 north. It's from Stephen Cox. The value of that property is $1,800. And all the lots next to it are $1,800. So he went with $1,800. So he did give me a check last week for $2,120. And I told him that it was pending your approval to sell that property. I don't have a picture.
Is this an adjoining property of his currently?
Yep.
And this is a non-buildable lot?
It is a non-buildable lot.
Do you have a parcel number?
Yep.
Is it on your report? I'm
yes,
sorry.
It is.
Okay.
Still want
it? Sure.
337-6577. So if you'd like to go ahead and sell that, please let me know.
And you feel that that's a reasonable?
The auditor says 18 and all the lots beside it are 18.
It's the best one we've gotten so far, so
yeah.
I'll move to accept the $1,800 payment for parcel number 337-6577 at 308 North Street with the township cost of $320 included for a grand total of $2,120 from Mr. Stephen Cox.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Now, the next three we did last time, and I left them on there, but Pam Davis came in and made her first payment. Did you agree to give her 10 payments?
Yep, I saw that on the...
So, otherwise, I'm leaving them on there until I get the deeds prepared. So, I'll send all these in together. So, we'll have five working at one time. Investigations. As far as land use, I've contacted Bill Harbert, and we're going to work on that riparian chapter in our book that has been left blank since Dan was here. So we're going to try to get that taken on. And I think the zoning board has talked about we don't require a permit for a 200-foot square building. And we're thinking about requiring one back down to 100 square feet. So that's something that we're going to talk about. I got the junk vehicle removal halfway done. Spent some time on it, but couldn't quite get it finished. Did some site visits yesterday. Mark sent me some emails, and then there were for some phone messages on the answering machine. Haven't taken care of all of them, but a lot of good things. I got to go look at what Dollar General did. They actually did cut along the fence.
On the one side.
Yeah.
But not the
but
other
not the
side,
other,
not the creek side. Yeah.
No, the creek side they did.
Oh, they must have just done that then.
Yeah, but it's okay. it's only like 24 inches.
Yeah,
so
kind of hard to get mower down there.
Yeah, but if it's level, the whole issue is the lot lines there. You got a lot line and you got a ditch.
Their lot line goes to middle of the ditch?
No, not quite. It's just, it's in the bank.
In the bank, okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's part of it. So we'll keep working on that. Okay, we'll keep going. Lighted house. So the house that we tore down, the only thing left is a piece of concrete. There was an address discrepancy that the sewer department was giving our person a hard time. So that. It is 850 Main Street, and it's been changed on the auditor's website. It's nice when you know the right person to contact. We just need to make sure that when we get the bill, that we then forward it to the auditor to put it on the taxes, so we don't forget to do that.
So are the concrete remaining, is that the rectangular one in the center, or is it the one
he
that's
has
still
it sitting off in the back.
Okay. Are they burying that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I was actually going to say maybe he could give it, like Lake Erie Tree lays a base of in their back lot yet. Hmm. Maybe a good place to bury it there, which I don't know. Court cases, we still have the two truck bodies that's pending. We did have a public hearing for Luce on the 18th, and it's recessed until October 16th at 7 p.m. Ram Hotel's October 1st. And I would like to request to go to a workshop. It's the Northwest Ohio Planning and Zoning Workshop. It's on November 14th. It's at Radisson by the University of Toledo Medical College, whatever they call it, MCO.
UTMC.
UTMC, thank you. MCO is the old one.
It looks like that would be a good workshop.
There's a $70 registration fee for that. Which, if you want to look at the flyer, that's what. Otherwise, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Joel, do you need a motion and approval in the minutes for that, or not?
I wouldn't think so.
No?
Not for that.
Okay, all right.
Obviously, just pay with the card and turn in the receipt.
Yep, okay.
Or they take payment online ahead of time.
It looks like they do online.
Yeah, the website. Oh, yeah. Just use the credit card to pay it. That'd be the easiest way to go.
Linda, I have received in the mail today the check for parcels number 336-9841, 550 Waterway from Catherine Hollister for $570. So it was one that we sold, I believe, at the last meeting. So yeah. I don't know if you get this right now, because if you got stuff you got to do before you give it to Joel.
I'll write the receipt for it, and then I put it in that file.
So that's yours. Here is your quick claim deed. Sign.
Oh, you got it. Do your magic kit.
Okay. Did you gentlemen have anything else for Linda? Okay. Jim, go ahead.
Jim Booth, we have a question for Linda. What is the basis for the reasoning behind lowering the square footage for a non-permitted building from 200 to 100 square feet? Is there background on that, or is
just
it
just the amount of buildings that go up? You have all those ones that you can buy pretty cheap now, and it would be nice if we could get them on foundations. Oregon requires 200 square feet. It's the county that says 200, so a lot of the other.
So, not being familiar with the zoning. So if they went to 100, then you'd have to have a footer and inspections by the county.
They could put in 100.
To put in 100, but what I'm saying, so for 200 you need
and 200 county is inspection. 200 is a pretty big building. You would just need a permit from me.
Okay, that's what I wasn't understanding.
Then we would put some requirements. And I'd like it put on a footer instead of just parked and put in. So that would allow us to do that. So, yeah. The county would still not require anything until 200.
And so the county steps in at over 200. Mm-hmm. That's what I didn't understand. Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
All right. Thank you, Linda. You're welcome. All right, I'm lost here because we've been jumping around. Down here, trustees' reports. Dave, anything on roads? The roads are done.
He might come and do the ditch there at the end of Turno, and he might do that. But he has to get it oopsed and along the road there on Brown before he does that. So it might be Monday before he does that. So okay. He was working with me at the church, and so he's going to stay here and do this stuff for us.
Okay.
Before he goes back south.
Good.
That's about it.
Okay.
On cemetery, our county engineer is working on preparing the scope of work for our cemetery development. That's still continuing. He is expecting to have that completed by December 31, 2019. And that will give us time to go out for bid.
Yeah. That was the realistic timeline.
Yeah.
The end of the year. So. Yeah. We had met with...
he quit squirming when you offered the end of the year.
Yeah, I wasn't going to push him too hard. Well, while we're on the cemetery, I had moved it over here into new business. So, David, after we went and met with that Alan there, Kevin, and Mark, myself, and I think Eric was there. And we went through the whole how far back we could actually go. And there's actually a piece in the back there. What did he call that? It was an actual flood floodway that we can't touch. Like, it's completely off limits. It's just a little corner back there. And we started.
So we can take soil out, but we can't add anything in. Yeah, we couldn't build up the dike.
Yeah, we couldn't build the dike up. And as we were talking about, you know, the timelines for this, one of the ideas that we had, and I had actually went over and talked to John Sadinsky, was we're down to, what'd you say, Kevin, 50 graves?
About
58 graves. Timeline, if we could possibly buy part of the hill going to the west there from him, and he's going to talk and get back with us if they're interested in selling, because we could probably get another 30 graves right there if we could just buy a little section from him. So it was just an idea, and he's going to talk and to his wife, and then they're going to get back to us if it's something that would be an immediate fix for the grave situation.
I don't think that'd work, because you got all the old ones in front of them. You'd have to put a road there or something almost, and then you wouldn't have anything.
You think you'd have to put a road there?
Well, it's a long ways to move over all them graves.
To access it for a funeral, you'd probably have to put something in there.
So we'd have to come off.
That's a long way.
It's something to look at if they offer something that's a decent price.
Right.
And if they'll hold that price for us, and we'll see how we go. Because once we went through a big patch when we put out there that we were running out of graves, we got a big rush where we sold a lot of graves. Now it's starting to slow down a little bit. And through the winter, unless there's just an absolute need, we usually don't sell too many through the winter. So we can see how we're sitting by spring, unless they just offer something ridiculous to us.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hall rentals, I got a couple pending. People have been calling for some dates, looking to see what we got available. So I think we're going to have some here the next meeting. So. Okay, old business, repairs of the hall.
She called Kevin and I both, and she said she's going to be here Saturday, right, Kevin? We'll see what happens.
Okay, Brown Road and Ellison Route 2. I think you touched base on that one with the turn, or what's the guy's name? Burkhart? He'll be digging.
Oh, you're talking about Brown Road. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, Brown and Ellis.
That's what I talked about prior. He might be coming in.
Okay.
Maybe Monday.
All right. The ditch petition, we haven't heard anything from Mike yet.
I got the Wilhelm ditch petition in my hands. I got to go around and circulate that. And the one for the cooling, the Cedar Creek, they're talking, Mike's taking hold of it, but he wants to talk to the Wood County engineer also to see if how far he wants to go in to Wood County, or even if he wants to go into Wood County. So Ottawa and Lucas will take care of theirs, the way it sounds. So that's what they're kind of waiting for, to talk to Wood County.
So all you have to do is start getting a few signatures for the Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, he told me one time we only need one.
And that's the one that runs all the way up Arquette, right?
Is that considered the Wilhelm ditch? It goes back to Woody's farms there, and
okay.
Rattles farms and all them farms there, and then it keeps going out by Joe Kiss's there.
Okay. All right. Army Corps update.
We are still waiting on the Army Corps of Engineers for their full report. That should be coming in any time in the next week or two. I did place an update out on the website probably a week or so ago, so as soon as we get some more information, as soon as we get this report from the Army Corps, we'll be able to put together another update, and I expect we will have some specific information on specific locations that are at risk that we can begin working on identifying whose property are they on, and we can begin to work with the landowners.
I got a thing here from Marcy Captor. I'll read parts of it here quick. I have attached the letter of response from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to the letter sent to them by Congresswoman Captor regarding the Reno Beach flooding concerns. She will continue to advocate for a solution to the levee system's issues, please do not hesitate to contact me if you have any questions. Let's keep in touch on this issue. I'll read this back part here. The district, which is the Army Corps of Engineers, is currently working to offer additional assistance to the Reno Beach community by providing an assessment report that will identify deficiencies along areas along the non-project segment in more detail than was presented during the July meeting. The report will also discuss lake levels, depths of potential flooding, specific recommendations for both short-term and long-term solutions for the community to lower the risk of flooding. Finally, detailed possible assistance through other USACE programs as the Advanced Measure Program and the Continuing Authorities Program, Section 205. The report is forthcoming and will be sent to the Jerusalem Township Trustees and your office upon completion. Should you need any further assistance, it's Remmers. So.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, they, and when I talked with them, they did indicate that they had just responded back to.
Yeah, this was September 23rd.
Very good. That's great that they're hearing it from.
Yep, you're right.
From both of us, we appreciate the support from Representative Kaptur's office.
Yeah, they said that means something when you get a congressman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Moving on, number five, Metro Parks.
Metro Parks, I got a phone call from Tim Sheeter today.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. The Metro Parks contracted with an engineering company, mm-hmm. and this engineering company was to come in and assess all of the levee sections that are on Metro Park property. Mm. That they've finished reviewing the assessment. They are now writing their report, and Tim Sheeter expects that report to come in the next 1 to 2 weeks. So he should get his report in hand about the same time that we get our report in hand from the Army Corps of Engineers. So that will be very, very beneficial for us to be able to.
Call you up, not me. You don't like me.
Sorry, we work as a team.
The only other thing I got on Metro Parks, I called Kevin Dalton to see what was going on with it. You know, I gave him that sketch that we had, you know, to put that short dike up there, and he hasn't called me back yet, so I'll bug him. I'll keep bugging him.
Okay.
All right. 911 consolidation.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll fill in if you don't.
Okay. David and I attended a meeting probably a week or two back. It was intended to brief the township trustee representative who will represent all of the other townships. So let me back up. So with this 911 proposal that came from the county commissioners, sometime this fall, they will convene a committee of five members. One member from the county commissioners, one would be the mayor of Toledo, one would be a Sylvania Township representative, one would be a chosen representative of all of the smaller communities, not townships. And then the fifth one would be a representative of all of the townships except for Sylvania, which is the largest township. This meeting that we went to was to brief the individual who has been selected as the representative for all of the other townships. It was a very interesting meeting. There were a lot of people that attended and brought out a lot of reasons where they were pointing out there's a lot of reasons that they were uncomfortable with the concept of a 911 consolidation. So anyway, I took a lot of notes. I thought David, I would try to put together at least a summary of some of those different arguments that they put out there, and then I can put that out on the website, make that available to everybody to take a look at. It's not actually going to come up for a vote amongst all of the population in the affected area. It's really just going to be those five individuals that make up that committee, and they'll have to decide whether they go forward or not. So it'll be a, you know, three of the five will have to say, yes, we want to proceed with a consolidation.
And the deck is stacked.
The way this works is expenses will be redistributed, and Toledo's expenses will go down as they redistribute to all of the other communities. Sylvania Township, the largest township's expenses will go down as those get redistributed to the other smaller communities. The county commissioner's expenses will go down as they redistribute all of the sheriff dispatch expenses to all of these other communities. All of the small small towns, will, those expenses will go up. All of the other townships' expenses will go up. And some of them go up quite substantially. And there are some townships and some small communities that are saying this is catastrophic. We do not have the budget to be able to bear this cost increase.
I think it's Providence out there, one of them, wasn't it, I think, I believe.
Waterville's got a real problem too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I have a question if I can. My question to you is if you could find this out for factual information, is it has been referenced to me that the fire department levy money will only pay for the fire department and the 911 or the EMS activity portion. So that means that if what I'm being told is the general fund of the township then going to pick up the incurred cost for the 911 calls and the sheriff dispatching law enforcement to those calls.
So I don't think we know the answer to that at this time.
Okay.
It is a 4-year phase in. If it goes forward, and right now we're at the point of putting together the committee to see whether it proceeds or whether it stops. If it does proceed, then it's a 4-year phase in, and we go a year or two before there's any economic impact, and then that impact is ramped up, and we don't get the full impact until we're 4 years into it.
Right.
So we don't, as we're not facing, this is not a budgetary issue for 2020. It'll be a few more years out. We don't even know what the price tag, we know what the price tag could be, but until it's actually passed or defeated, we won't really know what the impact is. Some communities and potentially our own community may have to look at, do we have the funds? If we don't have the funds, then we may have to come up with another way to fund that. And the only funding source that we have is levies. So not that we want to pass another tax levy increase, but.
Yeah, if I may continue to speak openly here, part of the reason for the fire department and the renewal and then the addition of that is to be in preparation for the impacted cost that it's going to be, because we're going from around $12,000 to now in the full view of what they project to $43,000. So that's quite an impact. This is I've only heard it from people. It doesn't mean that it's factual. I don't know where you would find the factual information. That's what I'm seeking. Is the fire department tax levy going to incur the entire cost of that $43,000 at the total impact time? Or is it in fact what some interpret as fire department levy money can only be used for the fire department and the EMS side? It was never designated and allowed to be used for law enforcement or 911 calls. That's the clarification I'm
you're seeking.
So I don't know who could give you that kind of an answer. I don't know who to ask.
You're going to get that from Burrell.
I don't want to ask people because people all just throw in their stuff. I just want a real answer from a real.
We already have the answer to that.
Yeah.
So the law states what the levy money can be used for. So we already approved it. I just have to get the language. I mean, it's our revised code. It's real specific.
Yeah, whatever the levy, whatever we put down for the language, you're going to use it for building maintenance. You're going to use it for this.
Right, I understand that part of it.
But if it's anything, don't say anything about it. Use it for police dispatch.
That's what I'm saying, and or police respond calls. Right. You know, so right now, as Jerusalem Township, we're not paying, the township, to my knowledge, is not paying anything for the 911 and or the...
For the non-emergency calls?
And or for the non-emergency calls. Yeah. You know, right. The township isn't paying anything of that.
Correct.
You know, we're paying strictly dispatch services to the city of Oregon.
Right.
So,
that's a big part of the issue. The county sheriff is not charging all of the communities for the dispatch services that it runs. This proposal from the county commissioners is that they are going to charge all of that out. And which then brings all new revenues into the county sheriff as those expenses get redistributed. We're not real happy about that. But it's still a few years out.
We're planning and anticipating this impact of cost that at least for the fire department side is.
But you're right. There's
going to be an increase regardless of what happens. There's going to be an increase. So I know that.
Yeah. As this develops, you're right. We're going to have to take a look at the language at what are the potential sources. Remember now we've gone through at least 30 versions of this proposal, and I have not reviewed every one. I don't think. I think I've seen two or three, but that's it.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few people at the meeting would like to see this hammered out a little bit slower, something like the water was, you know, take a couple years and do it right maybe, and that's what I got out of it, didn't you, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah. They said that if you use a majority and you force the minority into a position they don't want to be in, you're not going to like it. You know, it's not going to go well. And that they're saying, well, why can't we take our time and reach something that everybody can live with instead of there's winners and there's losers.
They know where their votes come from. That's not the outer lying area. It's the inner, you know, even the kind of commissioners, they get elected from being guy basically Toledo.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Seven, the IRS penalty abatement legal fee waived.
Yes. The background on that is that we retained a legal firm to help us appeal to the IRS on a penalty. They did quite a bit of work. One of the documents that they sent, the IRS said, was not readable. The legal firm had to redo that portion and resend. They sent us a bill for that rework. We asked them, look, we really don't want to pay for rework. Would you please waive the rework fee? And Joel, they agreed.
I would hope so.
To waive that rework fee. So, would you be happy with that?
All right. Mark, while you're at it, we'll let you talk about your water council meeting.
Okay. I attended a day-long tour of three farms in the Blanchard River watershed, which feeds into our watershed, and they were really focusing in on reducing the nutrient loss from farm fields into waterways, and of course that's of great interest to all of us because that's what's spawning, what's producing this feeding this algae bloom. So it was absolutely fascinating to visit with the three different farms, and they showed us all kinds of information. They showed us economics. They showed us all their techniques, and they talked about the results. Now they're not at the end where they're saying this works, this doesn't. They're literally halfway through the process. So they're saying, these are the things that we believe are working well. These things we're still testing and we're still measuring. But it was very interesting. I have written up a page and a half summary of that and those techniques, and my plan is to post that out on the township website probably tomorrow, so that it can be available to all of our township residents to see what kinds of things are happening. Bottom line is, you've got some really cutting edge farm techniques out there that are really working hard to try to reduce nutrient loss from the soil. If the farmers lose the fertilizer out of their soil, it does them absolutely no good. They need the nutrients in their soil to feed the crops, and if it runs off into the waterways, that's money running through their fingers. So there's a lot of really great techniques to try to keep that fertilizer and those nutrients in the soil where it helps produce better yields and doesn't run off into the waterways and produce higher yields of algae blooms, which we don't want.
You learned a lot.
I did.
Then up on your water council?
Yes, right. Sir. Thank you.
Do we got to touch more on the dike safety?
No, I think we covered it. Thank you, Chief, for all of your input on that. We'll continue to update that.
Okay. Number 10, Joel, I believe you wanted something about the audio on the website.
Yeah, I was listening to prior meetings, 2017, 2018, when Joe Kiss was the trustee, and one thing that was never decided on, it was agreed at the time it was a good idea. Maybe, Bo, you remember this, about putting the audio minutes on the website. It was discussed, and it was tabled because we were missing one trustee, and then we never revisited it. And I know that there's goods and bads, but a lot of other places do that, and they do that for a lot of reasons, you know. And I think it would be – I wanted to bring it back up because I think it's a good idea. At least for the sake of, you know, you can look at the summary of the notes, which is what it is, right? It does not, especially when you're dealing with specific issues and you want all this, you want to know, like, because I summarize your guys' conversations, right? There's no way I'm going to write it word for word. It's impossible, you know? So for the curious folks out there that want to know what was discussed in detail, it's not summarized, or wasn't it? Indicated on there, you know, could be.
Is this something that you can do very easily, or is this somewhere that like Neon Goldfish do? You can.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably, because it's a large file, they would give me a site to send it to, and they would put it on there for us.
I'm assuming it's a WAV file, digital WAV file, and they just would. Put
yeah,
it
whatever
there.
Windows opens, okay. I think it's WAV, but I don't know. It just, you know, I think it would be. Up to you to decide, but it's a common practice for most other places, school boards, libraries, things like that. I mean, it's just what they do. Some of them don't even have meeting minutes written down. They just have audio, and it's up to you to do with it what you would like. I'd love that because it wouldn't see me very long, but at the end of the day, I think it'd be a good thing to consider. But then I see pros and cons to it also.
I see a lot of cons. I'd rather just stay the way we are, but that's why it never got.
Well, your heavy breathing gets, you know. Yeah. And people do request public records requests. I give it to them. So it's not like it can't be done at the same time.
Do they ever request the audio?
They do.
And you provide the audio upon request.
And to be honest, I just finished that Barry Savage one request. And if I didn't have the audio, the detail that was not in the notes, I mean, it makes a difference maybe for the individual seeking the information.
Do you post all the summarized minutes on there?
Yeah, that's up to date pretty good.
So that's on there. I mean, I would.
Sorry to make you talk about it, but I think it was left open with the intention of revisiting whether you guys decide to or not. And
so is there any notice out there where people go to see the summarized minutes? Is there any notice that the audio of the minutes are available upon request?
No, it's
just a given that it's under Freedom of Information Act.
Well, you record it or you don't. And I mean, and I can tell you that prior years, there is an audio, right? You know, because they've had issues with whatever the recording. We fix that by splitting money on this system,
right.
Which is very, very nice and makes it, you know. But I see both sides, you know. but I don't know. You don't have to do anything about it. Yeah. I just brought it up.
Yeah.
Think about it.
We can continue to take it under advisement. Okay.
I'll leave that on for old business for next meeting.
It would be helpful maybe to have, you know, if there is some guidance from the Ohio Township Association.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea. I got one more thing, Bo, for the old business.
Yeah.
I think I found a place to fill sandbags. I have to talk to them yet, but they'll stack them and everything.
Oh, really?
So I got to talk to them. We'll see what happens. You had the bags yet?
Will they fill them at their site? And
yeah.
We have to and then they'll stack them on pallets and we transport them?
Oh,
that's pretty slick.
We have to buy our own bags because the bags we presently have are owned by the Corps of Engineers.
They will not permit us to use them?
No, you got to call Buffalo and get permission to use them. Within 7 business days, they'll be back with you on whether you can use them or not. Unless there has been a declaration of disaster or emergency in your area.
What's new?
Yep.
After the fact,
that's
always.
That's why anymore, we used to do that all the time. You're constantly calling Buffalo, I want to use 300 sandbags. Well, a week later, they'd say no. You're better off just using the sandbags.
And replacing them.
And replace them.
And don't give any away to Oregon or anything anymore.
No. Won't the EMA provide us with more sandbags?
That's still in discussion. Now they're wondering why they were buying sandbags to start with.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Because by their bylaws, there was no emergency declared.
So you're suggesting that we go ahead and use the sandbags and then offer to replace them.
No.
They're no good after.
Exactly.
They're no good 5 minutes after we need them. We have to have them before.
There's no change in your mind on them. It's ridiculous. You have to lose everything you got before the hope.
Sorry, our focus is on prevention, not reacting afterwards.
And the sandbags that we've been getting replaced through the EMA, they now come in bundles of 1,000 bags per bundle. So depending on how many you want, if you want to do 3,000, 5,000, whatever, you need 3 to 5 bundles.
How much are they a piece?
He has not got back with me on that yet because he wasn't sure who the vendor was because he wasn't the one that ordered them. But I'll try to reach out to him yet this week to see where they're getting them.
Why don't you do that and I'll try and get this settled. Yeah, so we can get them filled. At least get a few.
You're going to get a cost on that?
Yeah,
a few thousand.
Well, we've got to get 1,000 anyhow. Yeah.
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 Could you fill those Army Corps bags, stockpile them, and do what we've been doing? Is that when we have an emergency, not waiting a week, we just issue them out, then replace them, and then at that time we worry about replacing them at a cost.
You could get away with, and he, the guy from Buffalo, was really reluctant on even giving permission to pre-fill them.
Oh wow.
He didn't say no and he didn't say yes, but he said they couldn't leave. So without putting in any more of a gray area, it is completely useless to call out of the state and ask for permission. Just beg for forgiveness when they come back.
That's usually what it is.
I think our first
we're waiting on their information.
I think our first responsibility is to our country.
And I'll keep working with EMA because he was looking into that. Because I asked him about us pre-filling the sandbags, if they'd be willing to purchase another 3 to 5,000 bags, and we would pre-fill all of them. He was really interested in the idea, but he was still looking in if legally they could do what they've been doing for us.
Look, just looking online, not getting like a government deal, you're looking at probably 15 cents a bag. But that's just like if I was going online and buying them, so I'm sure we're going to get them cheaper than that, but that's,
okay.
You know, cost-wise, I mean, just probably get them for half that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not going to break.
Whatever, you find the bags, we'll get them filled.
And I don't know if I told you the last meeting, but the city of Findlay does not have a sandbag.
You did.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
That's unbelievable. For as many sandbags
is gold down there, that they never bought a machine to do it.
And you see Kevin on TV all the time. They're all filling them by hand all the time, and you see it.
I just thought that was a ploy. You know, look how, you know, but they were. I mean,
yeah.
But no, if we could get a price on, say, per thousand.
Sorry to interrupt you guys. Is Don here? No. Mm. Okay, because he took his paperwork with him, and we kind of need it.
He'll call him.
Okay.
Chief will call him. Okay, is that it?
Another thing that I got yet is, what do you think about October 14th? That'll be the second full week in October for brush shipping, so we can get that date approved or not approved tonight.
That works for you, and we better get working on that guy then.
It works for me. I just got to get somebody else to have Eric.
Yeah. Well, that's... That... I just hope you can get somebody hired. I mean, that's my fear.
Once I tell them about brush shipping, they may not...
We'll just leave that off and surprise them.
No, this guy... I don't think you have any problem with this guy, that one guy.
Yeah, it's not as bad now that we got the rules and regulations on it, but it's still quite a bit.
It's real work.
All right. Well, I mean, if that's what the date you're picking, we can. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, we better get it done.
I'll move to set the date of brush shipping to begin October 14th, the week of October 14th.
Yep.
I'll second it.
Okay. I'll get a couple flyers made up, put one at Joey's and one down to Jack's. And if Mark, if you could get that on the website. I think the old one's still on there with the rules. But I think we'd have to do is change the date on it, pretty much, or what they got on there. I haven't looked in a while. Last time it was on there, it was still there.
So is that going to be the entire week?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be October 14th through the 18th?
It says it on the flyer. Okay. I have it on the computer.
Yeah. Oh, you? Okay.
What it basically, it depends on how much brush is out and how fast you can move along. If you don't get any weather delays, we've been able, with the new rules and everything, 3 to 4 days finishing the whole township. But if you get an abundant amount of people start putting it out, yeah, it's going to drag on. Usually it doesn't take more than 5 days.
Okay. Okay.
That's why you don't want to
be behind in everything else. We might as well just get the brush chipping out of the way. And
you don't want to linger it out too long being out there, and then you get more and more and more.
Well, yeah, that too. You actually hope for rain prior to that, so as much stuff to put out. But no, that should give them plenty of time, and there's a lot of nice days coming up in the 10-day forecast if they can start getting stuff out also.
Okay,
roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. We'll move down to, is that all for old business, Dave?
The what?
That was all you had for old business then?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, we'll move down to new business here. Mark, you got some information on a program?
Our state representative, Michael Sheehy, recently held a town hall, and I attended that, and one of the things that he talked about that I thought was beneficial is there's a new program the state of Ohio has put out. It's free legal assistance, and they will help with legal information, they'll help with forms, they'll help with referrals. It is free for all Ohioans. And so I will put this information out on our website. Anybody that needs any legal advice can just tap into this program, and there's no charge. I kept asking, are you sure there's no charge? There's no charge.
There's no stipulations or anything? That don't sound right.
It doesn't, but it says free for all Ohioans. So I think it's limited. I don't think that, you know, you can go use it for any legal purpose you want. I think there's some limited types of legal assistance.
That most probably works like our mental thing that we apply to for employees and everything. They'll
like an EAP.
But if it's something that they can't just clear off the slate pretty quick, they refer you to somebody else, which you have to pay for it.
Right, they'll probably get you through the basics.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's a you know what? It's a place to start, and it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll get that out on the website as well and let people know.
Okay. Number two is part-time help. We talked about that. Kevin's going to arrange that. Three, cemetery. We talked about that. Joel, you had me put down tax estimates in advance.
No, we just did that. Sorry.
We did that. We're good with that.
You know, I have to look ahead to the agenda. Sorry.
Okay. Anything you give me, I usually put down there. It's just where my...
Yeah.
All right, the electric bill.
Is road intersections the same? Did that come from me, too?
Yes, that is.
So that's just one.
Oh, okay.
Electric bill at the road intersections. So I was putting these smoke detectors in for some folks from the fire department, and they were complaining about the light being burned out at the corner of Corduroy and DeCant. And I said, oh, okay, well, they said they were going to come to the meeting, but they didn't tonight. Okay. So I said, well, that's not something we're responsible for. That's a county road. And actually, they're both county roads, right? DeCant and Corduroy. I said, but certainly, you know, you can come to the trustees meeting if you want or say something to Kevin or if you happen to be in the area and just want to make a mention.
So is that the route we notify Kevin and Kevin notifies the
county? I didn't have a good answer, but usually Kevin says it's Billy Bob at the county that you should talk to, and you know I'll see him next week and say something to him. The point I was getting as I was explaining to him that it reminded me because there's a burned out light at the intersection of the Cant and Route 2 where there was. And then it reminded me that we actually have been paying Toledo Edison for years for those lights down Route 2. So, because when I first started in this job, I get the electric bill for Toledo Edison. I'm trying to decipher what I'm paying for. And they don't list it really nicely. They just list pole numbers or meter numbers, or it's like ancient history. I'm trying to read this writing, you know, whatever, specific to them. And then I found out, yeah, we've been paying these intersections down Route 2, Cujino, DeCant, Andota. What am I missing? Howard? Teach out.
Elliston.
Didn't.
I thought since those were all county intersections, the county paid for those, but we had the lighting districts.
And the lighting districts for Curtis and Bono. And we have a special assessment for those that we renewed, remember, for 5 years instead of every year. So the question is, and I want to bring to you all, is I don't think I'm getting reimbursed for those intersections, that electric bill. I don't know when that started. Our government rep at the First Energy that finally contacted me back to explain that that's what those lights are for. They couldn't give me any history. And I said, man, I don't know if we should be covering that, those lights.
Or the county of the state should be, yes, what you mean.
I mean, I don't know how we got to it other than probably those are dangerous intersections. If they're dark, absolutely, right? But, and then the lights burned out. Well, who was responsible for that if we're paying the electric bill?
Didn't we have a number for that, Kevin?
The fiscal officer was the one that always called on them.
Okay.
Oh, man. And notified them that there were help.
I don't like that.
And got please, job. By all means, if you find the number to call, give it to me.
Okay.
Because I don't think it should be just your burden. I get it all the time.
Oh, do
this
you?
Light or that light's out.
Yeah. I mean, I got a government lady, like, over there off of McCord, you know. Her job is just to handle government accounts, not the light burned out number, but... You know, besides that issue, I mean, we're spending, while it's not as, you know, it's getting dark out longer, but like $255 was the cost that I just paid for those lights. And it's just going to go up as the days get shorter. How much more? Probably not much more, you know, because those are actually estimates. They don't actually read any sort of meter. They just take a stab at the dark, pardon the pun. But I just think... Man, I don't know how we got into this and why are we into it if they're county and state roads.
So you're talking about the county engineer's office starting there.
I don't know who to start with, but I feel like we should get out of it because it's not our road. And I'm just, it's not much money, guys. I mean, you're saying if it's $300 at 12 times a year, that's what that is, and is that worth, you know, for safety? Yeah, probably, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm thinking, so are we responsible every time the light burns out to, you know, to address that one, but not the one at, and this is what this guy was saying to me, you know, right in front of my house on Corduroy and Decant, which is also a very dangerous intersection to cross.
Yeah.
In the dark. So
Dave, do you think Sarah Rowland is a good place to start at the county? She's pretty knowledgeable.
To see why we're paid for them and why they...
Yeah, I mean, she could at least give you... Okay. There's your contact information.
Oh, back to me.
She could at least give you, you know, who to call.
See, I'm wondering if stuff like that happens when... Well, go ahead and get it, and then you send us the bill.
Who knows?
We'll reimburse you, and then it gets lost in translation over the years.
Because I'm not getting any sort of, like, specific payment... I get payments for all kinds of random things from the county and, you know, through the state or whatever. And I have to ask what this is for, but not even on our tax, you know, settlement sheet does it stipulate, you know, we're reimbursing you this much. And if we're going to be taking, just like we take these roads over, you know, I mean, are we taking the burden over? That's a question. Are we taking the burden over of the light that's on that intersection too? Who's paying that bill, you know?
It's worth asking a question.
I know this might be opening a box, too.
No, we're taking over the road. That's
right,
it.
But it's on the road, you know? And I mean,
we're not taking lights. It's the road.
That's in the air.
That's right.
Yeah. You're exactly it's attached right. to the ground in the right of way, so I don't know. I get worried about that. So I really just, I don't want to pay them if it's not ours, you know?
Absolutely.
It'd be nice to know how that ever got started, like you said.
Right. Yeah. Could have been from a meeting that... None of us were alive when they figured
that's
it out.
That's very true.
Well, Dave well, maybe probably not either, was.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that. I just.
Okay.
I think you should keep it on the agenda because that I'm curious to see if that can be removed.
Well, like the one at Corduroy and Decant, I would just call the engineer's office and talk to Missy, who's the secretary's going to answer when you call.
Yeah.
And she'll direct it to wherever it may need to go.
Yeah.
The county does not maintain any of them lights. They do the same thing.
Right.
They most probably pay a flat fee for that
right.
light, and they just contact the Edison.
Yeah, right. Process. It's their light, and I'm sure it does.
The last, is that it, Joel?
Yeah.
On that? Okay. Yep. Last thing I forgot to put down on there was I had a call regarding Time Warner Cable. Tim Tegmeyer was doing research on this because they do not have it down Brown Road, any cable or internet down there. Well, talking to Time Warner, the trustees at one time had to have signed an agreement to allow Time Warner to be the provider in this area. And in that contract, it says that they have to provide it to all residents. So it doesn't matter if there's one house down that mile-long road, they're entitled
to...
They're going to serve the area, they're going to serve everyone. But the only way to move forward with it was we needed the original contract agreement, which was... How long has it been out here? 15 years? I know well before you were in, Dave. Yeah. And you've been the longest, so I don't know. You're the records guy, Joel.
I'll look.
Okay. All right. If you can't find anything, we might be able to get a copy from Spectrum Time Warner.
Oh, that'd probably be easier. You know,
because they
we it's interesting too. We get a cable franchise fees from Charter Communication. That's who's paying us. I think I start with them because. You know how this goes. It's like the telephone company. There's
well, all these they acquired all of those.
And who knows,
customers.
Right?
Yeah.
Spectrum, Time Warner, Charter, Mickey Mouse could own it. I mean, I don't know, but
yeah. When this first started, it was a small company come in, and can't think of the name of it right at the moment. Was it Frontier? Or was it? Who was here before Frontier? Did the initial installation? Because what I remember from it. As if there was not enough houses on a road to justify the cost, they didn't run it down that road.
Hmm.
That's why it got sort of piecemealed around.
Well, there may be terms in that agreement that we can
Well, when it first started, that was sort of what they signed, but as it was bought out, there was most probably other contracts signed by the trustees which had maybe different verbiage in it.
Right, right.
So... Place out of southern Ohio or something that came from...
Billy Bob's on our television.
Well, we'll see what we come up with.
Yeah, I mean, we had Barb go through a lot of those files and organizing them by subject matter. I can start there, and then Charter Communications, they're paying us for a reason. Well, by law, I'm assuming, too, because they have those fees associated with the lines and stuff, but that might be another place to start.
All right. Any other new business? None? All right, looking for public participation. Name and address, please.
Brad Anderson, Rachel Road.
I'm sorry, did you say Fred?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I got a junk car. I've been trying. Well, I was at the last meeting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Still sitting there. I brought you guys a picture.
You, are you engaged in a legal matter with the owner of that car?
Yes.
With a neighbor? Okay. Where are you at in terms of that legal matter being resolved?
And have where you lost him?
Has there been a hearing or anything? I mean, because if you've got an active legal matter, you don't want to be introducing another party. You know, that's not something we should get involved in if you have an active legal case.
I own the property. There's a junk car sitting there. If you guys have a job, they're remoted.
And we have to go through the process. We talked about that at the last meeting.
Yeah, but you can't pick and choose.
No, we have to go through a process to be able to remove this junk car. So Linda stated in her zoning report earlier that she's halfway through setting this up. Since the last meeting. Then she's going to have to send you a citation to have you remove your car. If it's on the car that's on your property, I would assume the citation would go to him.
Well, it depends. It's a dispute over where the line is. So, we don't decide where the line is. That's a civil case in court.
I bought a picture.
Well, you understand that what's out on the web through the county auditor's office, those property lines on the web in Aries are approximate. They're not exact. And you'd need
certified survey.
They will tell you you need a survey if you want exact. You have had a survey done.
All surveyed off, same thing.
Okay, and the other Aries. And the other party agrees?
Agrees to what?
Does the other party agree with the survey? Have they seen the survey?
They even had it surveyed themselves.
And do those two surveys agree?
Yep.
Okay. So then the other party's vehicle is on your property?
Yep.
According to the surveys?
Yep.
Tow it. Have it towed. If you have the legal backing, if you have the...
What's your guidance, Linda?
Can't really get into the middle of that. It's owned by someone, and it really isn't a junk car. It has a license, and it will run.
Okay.
So it really goes back to it. It's a civil case. It's not considered light under our regulations.
Because it's licensed.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're picking and choosing.
No, it's an operable car.
I think. Property.
Then it's a civil case.
I think they're your friend.
I can't remove things from private property unless it's blight or it's considered a junk vehicle.
But you can because it's your property.
Correct.
So you just go, you got one day to get it out of here. Tow it.
Unfortunately, our hands are tied. I mean, we can't do much for you on this. Because you are in court with it.
it's the way to solve it through an attorney.
Anything else?
Now, are you going to give everybody with a junk car this consideration that you're...
But that's not a junk car.
I asked that guy to move that for me to plow up that field. He said it doesn't run. And it's still set.
What has your attorney advised you?
We haven't been to court yet.
But you can consult your attorney.
Huh?
You can consult your attorney.
Oh, I have.
I would encourage you to talk with your attorney and take your attorney's advice as to next steps.
Anything else?
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
One about
Yes, state your name and your address.
Brian Hawke, 7236 Cedar Point Road. In with this light situation you got, and I guess it kind of go hand in hand now what I'm asking, which I think I already know the answer, because it's really an out of township roads. It's a county road, but with your guys, I know me and Bo talked about it before. With Oregon having them blinking stop signs, would that be something that we could move forward? One reason I'm asking this, about 6 weeks ago, a guy from Woodville blew the stop sign at Yondota and Corduroy, and my wife hit him. And that was something that he was looking at his GPS. Granted, it wasn't at night, but it could be something that could help with these lights being out. And I mean, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah,
no, but if that was something that I know Bo said that he talked to the county about it at one time and it never...
So the county will not let us do, since they are our engineers, they will not let us put a change a traffic pattern unless there's 4.6 accidents a year for 3 years at an intersection or anywhere. Because that was the big question, is when we had the triple fatality, we wanted to change that. We wanted to put blinking lights there because it's a bad intersection. We were in the talks of actually even paying for it. We would be willing to pay for them, but they won't let us do it.
Yeah, because I was even thinking maybe from Howard, not even maybe even Howard, because that pretty much goes straight through. So pretty much, yeah, no to... North Curtis.
Yep.
They're extremely expensive. I think that was discussed here one time, and they're between $5,000 and $8,000 for one light.
Yeah, a piece.
Which
isn't horrible. I mean, if we did one a year or one intersection a year, wouldn't have been bad. I could have swallowed that and said, "All right, let's." If we at least, but he said no, and I'm like, "So you're telling me we just lost three people? If we have, you know, three more accidents, that's, you know, 9-12 people we've lost." So. It's unfortunate that that's the way their rules are when it comes to a traffic pattern. Now, Oregon might be able to get away with it because they have their own engineering, but we're stuck under Lucas County.
Yeah, we're under the Ohio Uniform Traffic Laws. Is what covers us, which Lucas County operates under. So unless there's studies done, and like Bo said, the amount of accidents or the severity of the accident, they're not going to do anything with it. Just, you know, and they've actually, on a lot of the roads, went beyond what the rural traffic rules are. They put up double stop signs. They put up pre-stops farther back, warning you there is a stop sign coming up. And I'm sorry, if you don't see that sign and the other two standing there,
I can see
you can stand there and shine a spotlight in their eyes and they're still not going to stop. It's just the way people are. Right here is the biggest problem. get these.
He told my wife he was going fishing.
Oh, yeah.
And he was looking at his GPS. Yeah.
I'm sure he was. Oh, yeah.
And then the other issue is probably a county issue, too. Are they ever going to do anything with the Cedar Point Road ditch? They started digging that.
What's wrong with it?
Curtis and, well, anywhere from Nerd Curtis to Cugino, it's about 4.5 foot deep. From Cugino to Decant, it's dry as a bone because you got to pump it.
We have tried to do all the driveways and get them, you know, level. And we must have did, what, 5 of them, Kevin? And we semi-straightened it out, you know.
Yeah.
But,
and I understand the water's high. But, I mean, I just did a job on, in between North Curtis and Cugino, and we were probably 50 feet off the road. And we were digging a 4 foot deep trench. And by the time we got 15, 20 foot off the building, we had water coming in.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the water's high, but it just seems kind of, which, does the ditch run to North Curtis from Cugino? Or does everything run to Cugino?
It should, in about the middle of the block or close to it. It'll break in those two directions. The reason they didn't finish digging it is it got too wet. They didn't have any place to dump anymore. And you wait, you know, if you're Lucas County, you wait until the ditch is full of water before you start digging, and every piece of ground around you is saturated. That's a good time to dig ditches, what they say.
Oh.
And that's what happened to them, that they couldn't get in to dump any place, so they finally put them off on another job.
Well, yeah, because they were dumping it behind my son's house, and they got stuck, and they dumped it right in his yard and left.
Any excuse, Brian, to quit, that's all. They pull right out just like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to be on our own, I guess.
We have straightened it out a little bit, though, you got to admit. No, it's not as bad.
Like where my son lives, he's on the other side of Cugino.
Yeah.
I mean, other than they probably need to be dug, but yeah, on this side of Cugino to North Curtis, it's 4.5 foot deep of water just sitting.
Lot better than it was, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Well, that's all controlled by lake level, and at the gate.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many hours that we spent going down there raising and lowering that gate because of wind direction, heavy rain. It's just,
right.
You're at the mercy of the lake level right now. The lake drops 2 foot, all the ditches will dry right out because all the water will go out.
Right.
But you look, when you've had 3-4 days southwest wind, they don't get empty because there's just too much water to push. So.
Anything else?
Nothing else for me.
No.
All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
I'll second.
Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
We need you to climb up and put a new battery in our clock, too.
I'll get on that in November.
Do you know where I can get a double A?
Yeah.
I got some. I got one.
You
got
one?
Okay.
So I missed the meeting minutes.
You might have to.
Don't forget to report, please. I already did.
You did it.
I know.
Good.
It's like an exchange.
I gave you your check. 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 I gave you your check.